Welcome into the Pick Aside podcast, talking some college hoops gambling with you, Shay Norling and Tyler Aki. Shay, a little under the weather, so I'm just going to say, Shay, you got a pick, and then you're going to tell me if you got a pick, all right? Because I know
that sounds like a deal.
You're working on a word count here, so.
Does my voice sound fucked up? Because I feel like it's fucked up.
No, you sound
but
all right.
But it might be one of those things. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I think you're all right. But let's try to keep you under your word count here. I know you got some plays to share with the people. Let's start early on here. First game of the day. I kind of like these Big East 5:30 starts. St. John's and Marquette. St. John's a 3.5 point favorite in this game. I like St. John's at home. 3.5 point favorite against Marquette. I also lean to the under on this game as well. I just think that both of these teams defensively are good enough where this is going to be a lower scoring game. 145.5 is the total here, but I like St. John's in a lower scoring game.
Slicky Ricky at MSG against Shaka. Automatic lay the points with St. John's. I couldn't like this play more. Shaka on the road, like semi-road. But still, like, I'm not backing Shaka in a game like this against an elite coach. The work that Rick Pitino has done at St. John's. Why do I feel like nobody in our space talks about it?
It is kind of weird. Yeah, I mean, like, they have Kadari Richmond, too, their point guard, who I think is kind of the engine for that team. Just a big physical guard. Yeah. I think he'll be able to D up Cam Jones pretty good. I think that's a pretty good matchup to watch in this game.
But again, like, That's Pitino. He puts the team together, gets them to play together. They have an engine at the guard position. They're awesome, and I feel like nobody talks about them. And it's Slick Rick.
Yeah, one of the big names in the sport. No, I do like this play a lot. So I think you and I aligned on St. John's. What's next for you?
Ole Miss at home. Look, man, these SEC games, they are hell. And Kentucky, Mark Pope has done a really good job this year. But Saturday night at Rupp, boy, did they just not look ready for that moment.
No.
Or the size of that game, or the revenge factor with Cal. Like, everything about it, they just didn't look prepared. And that's a massive emotional game where your reward is to go to Ole Miss. Yep. You're supposed to just waltz on in to the Sandy and John Black Pavilion and win a game in conference against a ranked Mississippi. I'm going to lay the points with Ole Miss. I think it's 2.5, depending on where you're getting it right now. That's probably the best line you're going to find. Yeah. 3.5 maybe at some places. So it's just dependent on where you look. But Ole Miss, lay the points.
Yeah, I'm with you on Ole Miss. By the way, we're going to give out all the lines from the night before. So some of you may be catching this on your morning of for your Tuesday morning plays, but we're going to give you the overnight line. So just know that when we do these, we're going to try to get them out the night before. But yeah, I'm with you on Ole Miss here. I always like fading the team too that is all offense, no defense on the road. And I think this is a perfect instance of that here. You've got an elite level Mississippi defense going up against an elite Kentucky offense. And I think even though Ole Miss's offense is nothing special, they can heat up at home, hit some threes. So I really like this play here. I think this is one of my stronger plays of the day.
Look, you could walk into something. Like, Kentucky can just put 100 points on someone any given night. The problem is when the shots aren't falling, like Saturday night when they go through spurts where they can't score at all, they'll get run out of games because their defense just isn't there to keep them in the game. You get a shorter favorite at home in conference. SEC's been a juggernaut. Ole Miss is good. It's a tougher place to play. Just ask Auburn, who had to gut it out at the end of that game. So it's Ole Miss for me.
Yep. I'm right there with you. All right, you got another one?
USC at Northwestern. I am doing something very scary. And I am laying the points with the Wildcats. Why do I call it scary? You and I have seen Northwestern play live. They blow. That is a one-man team. Nick Martinelli, if the shot's not falling, they're pretty much out of the game. But to get an opportunity where I'm getting basically a pick'em against a West Coast Big Ten team, just played a home game against Michigan State, huge win for Musselman at home, to go then on the road to sleepy N-Dub, I'm going to lay the points with the Wildcats.
Not bad there. It is a little tough losing Brooks Barnheiser for the season on the Northwestern side. But yeah, no, I think the spot is right for Northwestern, even though personnel-wise they may be a little bit undermanned. I've got another Big Ten play for you here.
It almost make it a little more appetizing, though, that Barnheiser's out for the year and they're still favored in the game? Like, it's...
Yeah.
There's something about that that just, it reeks of... If you're on USC, you're going to be on the wrong side.
Yeah. I haven't done like the whole like quick turnaround for these West Coast Big Ten and ACC teams going east, but I think I have kind of noticed the teams that go out west have actually done pretty well, and I've actually got something for you on that a little bit later. But another Big
Ten. Wish that included my team.
Well, go ahead. I think I do like them in this situation here.
Oh, no.
Minnesota. Getting 8.5 at Penn State. And even though I don't think this Minnesota team is very good, the Ben Johnson, Caleb Williams led Minnesota Golden Gophers. Even though Minnesota hasn't been very good, I think they've got one of the best competitors in the nation. And that is Dawson Garcia. And when you're looking at a Minnesota team that is getting 8.5 against a Penn State team that doesn't overly impress me, they have their moments, but I just think that this Minnesota team, with the way that Dawson Garcia has kind of willed them into games and kind of held them around, even though it's on the road at Penn State, this number is big enough where I do like Minnesota. Pretty much if you can find anything in outside of 7 points, I'd like Minnesota in this spot. I think it's going to be a little bit closer here. So give me the Gophers plus 8.5.
I'm not on it, but the process sounds right. Especially, look, man, I've watched Penn State a few times this year. They're terrible. Michigan State clobbered them. I don't know how the hell Purdue lost to them, but it's just this conference is not very good when you get out of the elite of it, and Penn State's not a member of that. Just quickly also to update the USC conversation, mm-hmm. They've had, as far as I can tell, in conference play, yeah, one trip to the eastern part of the Big Ten. The rest, like, they went to Nebraska, that doesn't really count, but they had a two-game trip back-to-back at Indiana and then at Illinois. They got fucking crushed in Bloomington and then beat Illinois. So maybe if you're looking the second game, because interestingly they go to Northwestern first and then Purdue on Friday, the Purdue game might be the more intriguing spot to bet USC.
Yeah. Well, along those lines here, I'll give you one of my other Big Ten plays, and I do like your Sparty team plus 2.5 at UCLA. Michigan State, even though they didn't win, they showed fight, especially at the end of that first half. I mean, they were getting whacked out of the gate. What was it, 22-7?
Yeah.
Right out of the chute.
They had it nearly tied by halftime.
Yeah. What was it, down 1 or something at half, down 3 at half? No, I do think this is a good spot here for Michigan State. You get to stay out west for a couple of days here, and you're not going to be overly reliant on the three ball against this UCLA team, because this is a Michigan State team that likes to play inside or from the mid-range, which is a place where UCLA struggles defensively. And even though UCLA does have an overall pretty good defense, I think their one weakness is where Michigan State thrives. And that, for me, is enough to go the Michigan State side getting points here. I think they outright win. And I think if this was the front end of the trip, I wouldn't like it as much. But now you've acclimated yourself a little bit to that West Coast. You're probably not even switching hotels out there. I like Sparty.
You know, I was going to go UCLA. I had it on my board. It's just one of those plays at home, unranked, laying 2.5 to a top 10 team. It's one of those things, kind of automatically go into it. Added advantage, it's against my school, so there's like the little bit of the emotional edge factor. But you've talked me into it. And I told you last week, I felt like this game being the second of the two was the benefit, because UCLA, obviously the much better team than USC. Now, I didn't see us vomiting down our shirts against the Trojans, but I still kind of feel that way, that this was scheduling benefit. You get to acclimate to West Coast time and then play the better team, especially off a loss. Izzo, maybe a little extra. I'll buy in. I'm going to bet Sparty, but I'm going to let you know, because you talked me into this. If I stay up... if I stay up tomorrow night till 11 fucking o'clock on a school night and I watch my team lose and I lose a fucking bet on it, I'm going to beat your ass. That's just where we're at on it. That's it.
I don't know what's worse.
I will take you to task over it.
I don't know what's worse. You blaming me for this or you thinking that this game's going to end at 11 o'clock with the way that college basketball games are going, especially when it's a 2.5-point spread here. Should imply right, a close 11, game, which 15. Means this thing's 11:30 probably it's more gonna like. Be, so it'll you may be have like to call this, in the next day.
The Steelers-Cowboys rain delay game where I was on the Steelers and that fucking thing ended at like 12:30 because of a rain delay.
Yeah. Oh, that was brutal. That is a flashbacks to the NFL season right there. And just a little bit of background off of that too. Like Syracuse went out west just this past weekend. Front end, they played Stanford, got fucking dog walked. All right, and honestly, it kind of went similar. They were out of the chute. We're down 25-2.
Yeah.
Next game, they beat the brakes off of Cal. Cal's probably the slightly better team between the two of them. Not that either is very good. All right, next up, I've got a Big East matchup for you here, 7:30. We're going to take a road team here, Georgetown getting 8.5 at Xavier. I like the way Georgetown's played this year. They've been competitive in games. The record kind of shows it, not as much so in Big East play, but they've got one of the best mismatches in all of college basketball right now. Thomas Sorber, and it's their freshman big man. Now he is going up against Zach Fremantle in this game. But Sorber has been just a double-double machine, and especially the kind of the energy he brings out of the gate. We'd be talking about him as one of the better bigs in the country if we weren't thrown Cooper Flagg in our face every single night, and rightfully so. But Sorber has been phenomenal for this team. The way that he excels in the mid-range game for them as well. Even though this is a Xavier team that can light it up from three, I think that Sorber is enough to keep this thing relatively close. Maybe things get dicey with free throws at the end, but I like Georgetown in this game plus the 8.5.
I'll root for you. I got nothing in here. It's a lot of points. It is actually intriguing. But, man, I can't get behind Ed Cooley. Something about Ed Cooley I just don't like. And Georgetown on the road this year in Big East play has been pretty brutal. They've kind of been a little – the Big East is just down. Like, they're all – this feels like peak Big Ten when the Big Ten was ass, but everybody had a decent record. Like, it just – every time I watch them, I'm just – none of these teams are that good, including UConn, which is bizarre. Yeah. But, yeah, just – I can't get behind Ed Cooley with not enough points. If this hits double digits, like, if I see a 10 flash tomorrow, I might join you. But other than that, I'm out.
All right. What do you got?
Big 12 action. The late night games, Kansas State at Arizona State. Arizona State's favored. Arizona State should be favored. They're a marginally better basketball team than Kansas State. The one thing I have here, it's not a player thing. It's not a matchup thing. It's not a coach thing. It's Kansas State just beat Iowa State on Saturday. And you go on the road to Tempe for a late night matchup as your reward. This is like... there's the college football kind of, this is how I bet those games aspect to it.
Yeah.
Up down theory, big emotional win on the road to sleepy Tempe at night. I'm going to lay the points with Arizona State.
You know what? I was eyeing that game, and the more that you talk about it, you've talked me into it. I'm going to lay the two with Kansas or with Arizona State. Just, I think this is kind of a no brainer for the night.
K-State's not a tourney team. That was their Super Bowl. It like they got the big win that they needed. It was emotional. This game, how do you get up for it?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. My and last play.
Oh, go ahead.
I think we're aligned on this one.
Is this Arizona BYU?
Yeah. We're going to go to Provo, and we're going to lay the 1.5 with the Cougs. Yep. I really like this. This is my favorite play of the day, in fact. BYU, especially Arizona, coming off of a very chippy, weird game against Arizona State the last time out. But, yeah, no, this is one of my favorite plays. I love these short home favorites, especially unranked against a ranked team.
And I get a little revenge. I know this bet's going to lose. I just like have a shitty feeling about it, because how many times did we bet on Arizona in this situation early in the year, November, December? Arizona's ranked, or Arizona, excuse me, not playing well and favored against a better team at home, and they just every time fucking lose. They were proving the theory completely dead.
Yeah.
But now I get the opportunity to go against them with the Soakers. So I'm laying the 1.5 with BYU.
Yeah, and just BYU.
Go Mormons.
For all intents and purposes, might be the best three-point shooting team in the country, or like one of the three best, because when you look at their percentage, they're shooting 37.5%. They're also taking 47.6% of their field goal attempts from three. And when that's the case, they're 21st in the country in three-point field goals to field goal attempt ratio. And then on top of that, they're shooting in a top 40 clip from three as well. The number here that really like kind of encapsulates that is their effective field goal percentage, top 10 in the country.
Yep.
So you get that team at home, I like it a lot.
Yeah, love it. I'm all over it. That's it for me. I'm out. That's all the plays I have for the day on Tuesday.
Those are my six as well. I had Florida State, and then your coach leaves the day before a game, so resigning before the day before the game. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to touch that.
Not that I want to do a big topic on it right now, but how much more of this are we going to see with coaches just like, I'm out, bro. Peace.
It is weird. What have we had now? Three this year, Larenaig, and they're all in the ACC. Tony Bennett steps away like the week before the season. Then you get Larenaga, and now you get Leonard Hamilton. So he was like the last of the old guard in the ACC.
People don't want to deal with it. I'm impressed that some of the long-timer guys have hung on as long as they have, especially a guy like Izzo, who's been so against all of the modern stuff. Yeah. Bill Self's embraced it, but that's going wrong right now. Like, by the way, is he in a fireable position?
Well, he's got the lifetime deal, doesn't he? So you kind of have to either let him walk away or kill him. I mean, that's how lifetime deals work, right?
Jesus Christ.
It's a lifetime deal.
Just take him out back and shoot him. We've lost six games. This is unacceptable in Lawrence. My God.
The most home losses in Kansas basketball history?
Dude, they are fucking brutal. If they don't give us a win tonight, I'm not betting on them again the rest of the year. That's it.
All right. Up for Potsy and Zed. All right. That's
Super
all I
Bowl
got.
Stuff on Wednesday for the people. Megapod. Hopefully. Yeah.
Megapod Wednesday, as long as Shay's feeling all right.
Gets regardless.
Little tickle in his throat, and we'll be back at it. So we'll get you all the Super Bowl stuff, some more college basketball stuff sprinkled in along the way. Thanks for listening. Remember to download, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast here. It's the Pick Aside Podcast.